This is disgusting, pathetic, and weak. Listen, to all of the Trump supporters who watch my videos on a day-to-day basis and leave troll comments, that's totally fine. I actually urge you to watch the videos and hear what I have to say, but I ask you to listen to this video closely because I'm going to demonstrate over the next 10 minutes or so how Donald Trump is a helpless observer. It's something that I call the helpless observer phenomenon. Donald Trump, when he got into office, promised to end every war within 24 hours. I'm not even exaggerating. That was his promise. He said he was going to usher in a global era of peace within 24 hours of taking office and that all global conflict would vanish. I wish I were exaggerating, but that was his promise. Now, roughly 6 months later, we see a Donald Trump that is merely a helpless observer. He is a bystander. He's not the president of the United States. He's somebody who's only able to send out Truth Social posts and beg Vladimir Putin, Netanyahu, and other global leaders to end their wars. For example, over the past few months, we have seen a reckless, severe, and evil starvation of the people in the Gaza Strip, and Trump has done nothing but complain. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about how Russia has continued to invade, take more territory, take more and more land, and Trump has done nothing but complain online. This dude does not know what diplomacy is. He does not know how to end a war. And here's the difference. Yes, the Russia-Ukraine war was going on under Biden. Yes, Biden could have done things better. But Biden at least froze Putin out of the global stage. He told Putin, you are not going to come to any meetings, any conferences. Nobody is going to talk to you until you end this war. Well, Trump unfroze Putin. He brought Putin back in, allowed Putin to talk to him. He gave Putin leverage by removing weapon sharing from Ukraine, and all of America's leverage began to slowly fizzle away. So for all of Biden's faults, at least America had leverage, and he coordinated with NATO like it was a chessboard and drew red lines with Netanyahu. Now Trump is allowing people to do anything. I just want to hop in and say, I am so grateful for what we've built with this community. We're always posting about politics and debate and making memes about politics, and we've built something truly unique here. So thank you all. Subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed below to join the journey and get us to 1.5 million subscribers. And back to the video. Thank you. So let's start off with this clip of Trump being asked, hey, Netanyahu said there's no starvation in Gaza. Do you agree with him? And for the first time in 6 months, Donald Trump basically softly tries to push back and says, I don't know, it seems like people are starving.
Stand on immigration, and taking a strong stand on immigration is imperative.
Mr. President, Prime Minister Netanyahu said there's no starvation in Gaza. Do you agree with that assessment?
I don't know. I mean, based on television, I would say not particularly, because those children look very hungry, but we're giving a lot of money and a lot of food. And other nations are now stepping up.
Those children look very hungry, according to the television. This guy gets everything from the television. It's incredibly disheartening. And listen, Trump, in the next sentence, essentially says people should be sending him thanks, should be praising him for giving Gaza any shred of food. It's disgusting.
I know that this nation is right
it's
here.
It's a humanitarian crisis.
Right.
It's an absolute catastrophe. And nobody wants to see that. And I think people in Britain are revolted at seeing what they're seeing on their screens. So we've got to get to that ceasefire. And thank you, Mr. President, for leading on that. And also to just get more and more aid in. And again,
I love how our president relies on Fox News and the TV instead of, you know, briefings or daily presidential briefings or even the State Department's information and intel. We have doctors warning that children in Gaza have suffered irreversible damage from starvation. Prolonged and severe malnutrition is permanently damaging the health of children across Gaza. And here's the thing. The previous administration, Biden's administration, is also at fault to a large degree. Biden definitely should have stepped up and provided more aid at more times, but I will say, the Biden administration did try. The Biden administration put pressure on Netanyahu. They tried to build a separate dock to allow aid to get in, and they tried to pressure Netanyahu to allow more aid. Now, is there an argument that Biden could have done more? Yes, and I would make that argument both with Gaza and with Ukraine. I think with Ukraine, Biden should have provided a little bit more weaponry right off the bat to give Ukraine the leverage over Russia. But hindsight's 2020. We're dealing with what's going on now. And what's going on now it's a different story. It is a different game. What Trump is doing is not comparable to Biden. Yes, could Biden have gone a little bit harder off the bat? Sure. What Trump is doing is rolling over and allowing countries to dog walk him as if he's a helpless observer. Again, that helpless observer phenomenon. When it comes to Russia, there were days where Russia would pound Kyiv with the largest drone attack yet, and they did it hours after the Trump-Putin call. This is not a coincidence. Vladimir Putin would get off the phone with Trump, and then over the next few hours, he would coordinate the largest drone attack yet, basically as an FU to Trump, saying, I can do whatever I want, and you cannot stop me. Here's Trump being asked about a ceasefire in Gaza, and he begins to just rant and ramble. And in this, he admits that there are wars going on all across the globe. Remember, during Trump's inauguration, he said he would usher in an era of global peace. But in this clip, he's admitting there are so many wars going on, he can't even keep track. Take a listen.
Do you think a ceasefire is even possible, Mr. President?
Yeah, a ceasefire is possible, but you have to get it. You have to end it. You're talking about with Israel's. You're talking about there, because we have many ceasefires going on. The whole world is...
The whole world is what? On fire? Because of you? Also, I love how he says, in order to get a ceasefire, you first have to end the war. Yeah, no shit. That's what a ceasefire is. Listen to how dumb this is.
A ceasefire is possible, but you have to get it. You have to end it. Oh. You're talking about with Israel's. You're talking about there. Because we have many ceasefires going on. The whole world is... If I weren't around, you'd have right now six major wars going on.
You do have six major wars going on. He literally just realized... He realized as he was saying that he was admitting there are still multiple wars going on and the whole world is on fire. Here's Donald Trump sitting in Turnberry, Scotland early this morning being asked about sanctions on Russia, and he gives the weakest response possible.
Have you had any other Ukraine channels conversations with the Russians reiterating this?
In what?
Reiterating this new pressure and deadline.
Yeah, well, we're going to have you're the press. I'm reiterating it to you. I'd say 10 to 12 days. I'll announce it probably tonight or tomorrow. But there's no reason to wait. If you know what the answer is going to be, why wait? And it would be sanctions and maybe tariffs, secondary tariffs. You know what a secondary tariff is. And look, the Russian economy, I don't want to do that to Russia. I love the Russian people. They're great people. I don't want to do that to Russia, but... This thing, they're losing a lot of Russians. They've lost 1 million Russians.
What is he even, why is he just rambling at this point? So he's talking about putting sanctions or secondary tariffs on Russia and says he doesn't want to do this to the Russian people, which, yeah, of course, civilians bearing the brunt of a war is never what you want, but that's already what's happening with both Russians and Ukrainians. Russians are being sent out into the meat grinder, not because they want to. Most Russians only have a vague idea of why this war is happening. It's because Vladimir Putin, in a top-down way, is telling them to. So in a roundabout way, acting strong, placing sanctions and tariffs, or even secondary tariffs, or giving more weapons to Ukraine does save lives. It's super counterintuitive, and even people in my comment section always disagree with me, but giving Ukraine more weaponry and giving them more security guarantees is actually how you make them stronger in the long term. If we remove all weaponry and security guarantees from Ukraine, Russia's going to see a weak prey, and they're going to double down and just prolong the war. That's why the war is being prolonged, because Donald Trump and Marco Rubio had this dumb line right when they got into office. Donald Trump said to Putin, if you don't end the war soon, the U.S. is going to have no choice but to pull out and stop funding Ukraine, which is like the dumbest logic ever. You're basically signaling, hey, if you just keep the war going for a few more weeks, then we're going to give up and you'll get everything that you want. So what I'm heading towards here is Trump is reversing the leverage and it is hurting Ukraine time and time again. It is absolutely disgusting. And if you want to help save more lives, if you want to save Russian lives and Ukrainian lives, you place more sanctions. You have to do the thing that hurts short term. It's called peace through strength. Donald Trump then makes the announcement that he's going to change the deadline. When he got into office, there was a 2-week deadline. This was like 6 months ago. There was a 2-week deadline when he got into office. He said, in the next 2 weeks, we better end the war. Well, 2 weeks passed, Russia kept bombing, and Trump changed the deadline. Then he changed it to 2 months from now, 50 days from now. We're like 6 months in, and Trump is continuously changing the deadline as if it means anything. Rule number one in negotiation is that you don't set an arbitrary deadline against yourself. For example, if I had an employee that was working on this project that needed to be done, and I said, listen, if you don't do this project within the next 2 days, you don't get your bonus and you're fired or whatever the hell the threat is. And he doesn't do it over those next 2 days, but I just don't do anything. I don't take any action. I set a deadline against myself that undermines my credibility. Okay, so then I come back to my worker and I'm like, listen, you didn't do the project. I'm going to give you 1 week. If you don't do it over this next week, you're fired. And I'm taking away all of the benefits that we gave you throughout this, like the car or whatever the hell. And then a week later, I come to him and he hasn't done anything. Then I set another arbitrary deadline that makes me look weak. Now, the analog here is that when Donald Trump sets these deadlines and says, Putin, end the war within 7 days or else, and then the 7 days passes and there's no or else, it makes the U.S. look incredibly weak on the global stage. Here's this clip.
Yeah, I'm going to make a new deadline of about 10 or 12 days from today. There's no reason in waiting. There's no reason in waiting. It's 50 days. I want to be generous, but we just don't see any progress being.
I think he learned that he can't just say 2 weeks anymore, so he changed it to 10 or 12 days. What's the deadline? At the end of the deadline, you're just going to do tariffs and sanctions? Just do them now. This war has been going on for 2-3 years. Just do them now. Be strong. Lord have mercy. I wish we had a strong president here right now to just smack Vladimir Putin across the face. I know that Biden did well. I actually think Biden handled the war between Russia and Ukraine rather well. I think that he should have provided weaponry a little bit earlier and a little bit stronger off the bat, but that's a separate conversation. But for all of Biden's good policy, both foreign and domestic, you know that I like Biden. I think he had a great presidency. I think that the policy he passed through Congress is going to help us for decades. That all being said, there were parts of his presidency where he wasn't the strongest communicator against Vladimir Putin. And now we're stuck with this dumbass who's an even worse communicator. So for the past 7 years, we haven't had an American president who's able to go up there and tell Vladimir Putin he's just an absolute dumbass who, again, needs to be smacked across the face. That's not me trying to undermine Biden's presidency. He did have great speeches and great policy, but at the very least, we can admit that at the end of his presidency, he could have been a stronger communicator. And Lord have mercy, I just want to see Putin quivering in his boots. And this guy's not doing it. Trump's not doing it. Trump's weak as hell. So I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, make sure you're subscribed to the Adam Mockler feed below. Make sure you drop a like, and I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.